here is our Q&A call, and this is a Q&A call normally for vision, but I did say ask your questions. We did a deep dive on sales, and both of your questions were not necessarily about vision. Doesn't matter. I'm so glad that you're just asking your questions here, right? And so Mary Kay's questions, let's start with number one. What's your goal? Getting more enrollees in mentorship? What's the ideal outcome for you to achieve at the end of this call? Know whether to promote control, unleash, talk. What's your number one question? And when I was reading this and thinking about this, I do that beforehand, right? So as I was thinking about your question beforehand, Mary Kay, I think it's a pretty easy answer to this one. And then if you want further, let me know right here, right now. But the question is, should I promote the CU talk I gave several months ago? I'm under contract to only allow it to be sold through cleanrun.com. Oh, wow. Okay. It sold as a package, $75, with five other trainers' presentations besides me. I suspect that few people got to view it, and the information is really helpful. I've leveraged the information already in other talks. Wow, like only being able to sell that talk. Did you ask them if you can give it away? Because usually I always make sure that if I've given a talk, that I also can, you know, use that talk for free. I mean, there are talks that I can't do that with. I gave a talk live at eWomen. I don't have access to that talk anymore, right? But I never want anybody to own the rights to any of my talks. And so I should be able to at least distribute it. You know, even if I was speaking for a summit, I have access to that one, my one talk, and I can reuse it elsewhere. But Mary Kay, you're saying that in this circumstance, you don't have that and it only has to be through that. Do you have access to it for free? Are you able to give it away for free?
I don't think so.
Oh, wait, you're muted again. Wait, Mary Kay, you're muted again.
I'd have to check the contract, but what I remember is that I'm not supposed to present it again.
The very first thing I would do is ask if you can give that away for free.
Okay.
And because sometimes maybe they'll say yes, then you might not be able to sell it, but you might be able to give it. You don't want to sell it anyway. You don't have to sell it. You can give it. And that will solve the whole problem, because that would be really useful to have that to give. And every summit that I've ever been on has always done that. You can't, maybe you can't resell it and you can't sell the package because that is the summit owner owns that. But you own your own talk. So go ahead and ask the question, because, and you know how to ask it well too. It's like, and read the contract first to see if the contract says you can't give it away. But if the contract just says you can't sell it, and you want to do something in integrity, you don't want to kind of do it out of line with what you understood the verbal agreement to be, just be a person in integrity and that you, I know you are, obviously. So, abide by whatever rule has been set, but they might not care if you give it away. They just don't want, competing sales, and it's one of five anyway. And you could even, I would just ask, and they might say an easy yes. And then, if they don't, then you can always go to, you can decide if you want to say, well, can I give it away? And then let them know where they can buy this and other talks. And they might go, geez, yeah, because we'd be driving traffic to them, you know? I'm not sure that, like, I don't want you to ask that to them first, though, because I don't even know that I want you to do that. Like, I don't know if I would even want to do that.
I don't want to.
Yeah, so then don't. But you can just ask if you can have it for free. And if you can, great. Then you don't have a problem. The problem just goes away. And most, like I say, I've never had a case where they haven't let me just give the talk, somewhere, right? Like, to give it away. But this could be something different. And so that's the first thing. Ask that first. Should you promote it? I mean, I wouldn't. Let me think. I would when the launch had been happening. Like, I would put everything into that launch as it was happening, just out of kindness. And, I did that at eWomen, right? And I'm so happy. I found out, like, two of the people that I knew who could come to my talk at eWomen actually became eWomen members. Like, I did my best to promote that event. And I'm really happy about that. Like, two people enrolling from me coming, I'm very proud of, most speakers, I'm sure that doesn't happen, right? So, and I was speaking in a city that wasn't my own. So I did everything there and always everything in integrity. I'm gonna help out the people who are hosting me just because that's what one does. But I'm not going to, for instance, like for eWomen, I'm not going to the next month drive people to the next eWomen talk at that chapter. Like, that event is over. So I wouldn't feel anything about not promoting any further. It was a launch. And now that launch exists, and now it's up to them to do what they want to do with it. So I don't have any qualms about that. But of course, I would support it when it's happening. And I mean, unless it was a special friend and then they were going to relaunch it and you wanted to do it, like something like that, I might do. But out of business, you know, integrity and obligation, I wouldn't. And out of your own company, I wouldn't send them to your stuff, right? And if it's a talk and you said, but they're, you're not allowed to give that talk again. Well, your material is your own. So you can, you know, we're always remixing our talks. The Stories That Sell talk that I first gave in 2015 has elements that are the same, but it would not be the exact same talk that I gave in Phoenix, whenever that was, last month, the month before, at Karen's chapter of Women. So things are always evolving. And if they don't want you to give that exact talk, you can rename the talk. You can, you know, add some things. You can put things in different order. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like, you know, and I'm always doing an integrity check. Like, you know, Karen, how would you see that? You know, I wouldn't see anything ethically wrong with that. It's not the same talk anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's your material. I can't believe that you're, and I couldn't imagine that they wouldn't say you can give it away. So then you own the talk. And if for some reason they've somehow owned the talk, I would say, don't go to people who own your talks, you know? And from here on, unless there's some really vast reason, like they're going to promote it to Oprah, I don't know, right? Or ask me about it, you know, is this a good enough opportunity? Because we need to own our stuff. And, but it's probably something like, oh yeah, you can't sell it, but you can give it away. So you should be fine with that. And then just rework the talk and re-give the material, but in ways that don't, you know, in integrity, replicate that. But you have tons of material and then continue to do your own work. Does that make sense, Mary Kay?
Yeah, I've already been doing that. I mean, we've already taking little pieces out of it because it's like in the rest of my work too. So
yeah, and you don't ever want anybody else to own your stuff. They can own the distribution of it in a summit, in a package or some things like that. That's fine. But usually they give it away to you for free to use your part of it. And if somehow they thought that now they own that material, that would not be good whatsoever. But I mean, they can't own the material, I'm sure. And you can repurpose into other things. And that's much more strategic for your company. Just like I said about doing partnerships with people, you know, both of you have heard me speak about this in different ways before, that when you try to do joint ventures and joint, you know, talks and so on and so forth, I know you know that's complex, and the same complexities here, do your own work. Making sense? That one was, I thought, just very easy to answer because I feel very clear cut about that. If that still is troubling to you, I can go deeper, but I feel very strongly about those things. Make sense? Good, good. That's one and done. Yeah. Sometimes the questions are different. I want to make sure that I'm serving all of you really the best that I know how to do. But that one felt just pretty clear cut and easy to answer for me. Right. So feel complete with that one, Mary Kay. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay, good. Next question. What goal are you currently working on in your program? More enrollees and mentorship. I love that. Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, stay focused there. Really good. Just like your question, Karen, like these are on point questions. What's the ideal outcome? Know more about my ideal client. Oh, reference what I was saying in the, you know, with Karen's question about how to find the questions in your strategy session. Know more about your ideal client, like everything that you can know about them. And there's nothing like being on the ground doing strategy sessions to know, right? And then also you get that every time we're training too, like I am learning more about you and what you want and need every time we meet. This is inside the party. So I'm not necessarily going to say that when I'm decorating the door and meeting people. You have to know that you're on a different stage of the journey. Because I can say to you, okay, well, we're doing an offer $5,000 and up, and somebody can come to me and go like, but I want to sell widgets. So, you know, they want to sell little tiny things. And it's a different discussion over here, right? So you can say different things at the door than you can inside the party. But always, this is like such an informed question, Mary Kay. I love that. Know more about my ideal client. Yes, 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 and yes. So then the number one question, can I serve beginning riders in positive reinforcement alongside experienced dressage riders in positive reinforcement? There, even before I read the best, my inclination is to answer yes. I mean, I read it all earlier, thought about it, right? But, and thought about what I wanted to answer, but already my inclination is to say yes. Then you said they're both beginners in positive reinforcement. Yes. Yes. They're both beginners. One has this knowledge in this related area, the other doesn't, but they're both beginners in this. If both of you knew how to make a One of you knew how to make a wonderful souffle and the other didn't. And I'm teaching you how to bake cookies. I can teach you how to bake cookies at the same time. Do you know what I mean? One maybe has more cooking experience, but I can teach you alongside each other. I might have to say, and it depends how, like, and then I'm going to read the rest of the rest of your question in a minute. But the cookie example, I think, is helpful. It depends. Like, if somebody has never even seen a stove before, I'm going to have to start much more at the beginning, and the other one's baked a souffle. But you can do that. It's a more advanced skill, but you're up for that, Mary Kay. You know, for others, if you're not sure about it, ask me your specific question. All right. But Mary Kay, you're certainly up for this. And because you're teaching at two different levels. Because if you had a beginner who didn't know what a stove was, for instance, you might say, okay, we're going to heat the things up in what we know here is the stove. You know, you're not going to insult the souffle owner or doer. And the other one's going, wow, that's a stove, you know? And then we're going to take this bowl and this, you know, and this spoon, and we're going to mix some stuff together. Well, they both can hear that, you know? And maybe the other one also has mixed up, I don't know, something else where you mix stuff. Like, he's worked on the oil rigs and you have to, I don't know, it's not oil rigs. Something else where you store things and so on. They're going to bring that experience and they know more about storing than the souffle. You get it. I'm stretching the analogy, but yes. My ideal client is interested. And then you added, my ideal client is introspective, highly motivated, not satisfied with their life, with their horse and with life. They persevere and they often have taken lessons but not gotten all they want. That's really great. You're knowing about who they are. And Mary Kay, you've done many iterations of your ideal client. This has come from a lot of work. So that's my answer is like, of course. And both of your questions seem to me like, well, of course I would work on your thing, not theirs, be in integrity, but work on your company. And here it seems like another, of course you can do this. Is that helpful? And is there something else you want to ask that you are hesitating about it that we can dive deeper in?
Yeah. And just the opportunity to ask questions made me think of this. And it's like, I didn't know that's what I was doing. And so it's like a whole new perspective and way of teaching. But anyway, the other question is like, do I want to teach beginner riders? I said before, I only wanted to teach more advanced ones. And I've been talking to more beginner ones, and actually one of them signed on. And I don't know. I'm having fun with her, but I don't know what, I don't know.
This is a great question to ask. Like, I love all the questions that you guys have put forward here. These are all really empowering questions. Thank you. I had said I'd want to do an explicit training on empowering questions. We haven't done that yet, but the questions we've been getting are wonderful. So we will do that, you know, sometime in the next little while coming up. But these are amazing, fabulous questions. So my best answer to that is it's an evolution. There are people that I worked with early on. First when I left teaching university, and then when I started understanding that it's not writers I'm working with, but entrepreneurs, some of whom may be writers, right? So it's been an evolution in the ideal client for me all the way along here. And then what kind of background do people need to be able to really make use of this work? And I would say that some people who would have been eligible early on and that I worked with, and we did great work together and it was life-changing for them. Actually, I know this to be explicitly so, would not be eligible anymore. There was, let me see, can I say this? Can I say this in integrity? Let me just say this, like, there was somebody that I'd worked with quite a long time ago, and you know, we talk strategically as a team as well, like, when do we next want to invite people in? If so, who do we want to invite people in? And there's many, many people in front of us. Of those, who do we most strategically want to pick so that we only bring in the best people into the community, right? So we have a big gate here. And I talk about people, pools of people, and then specific people with my team. And, there's somebody I worked with a long, long time ago, and we did some amazing, amazing work together and ran the possibility by team. And I'm not going to follow up even with the opportunity of a strategy session, because that person is now not ready for the level of work that we're doing now, even though they were ready before. Do you know what I'm saying? So because the work evolves and you evolve, and you evolve in terms of who you want to work with. But for in this company, for example, and Mary Kay, there's some parallels with your company. It's not always, technical expertise or something like that, but in fact, it's often not that. For me, some people would go, well, I only want to work with people who've built this size of business or whatever it is. I'm not really like that. Maybe I will be one day. I don't know. Maybe I'll want to work more with beginners or more not. I don't even know that for myself. But what I know is people have to have certain internal resources to begin with in order to be able to hear this work. And the internal resources that I expect of them are bigger than what I used to expect. Because I just... And whether they're just beginning in their business or they're further along, people need enough for internal resources to be able to come in at the entry point to be able to hear what we're doing. And I really want to be able to help people. If they can't hear it, I can't help them, and then it's not good for anybody. So Mary Kay, in terms of whichever element of how experienced you want them to be, in dressage, in positive reinforcement, in just the ridership, in the relationship with their horse, all of those are a decision and an evolving decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess another question arises, and it's part of an editor, but it's like, am I enrolling people just because they're choosing me? But I think that's an old story, because I have rejected some.
Exactly. You're already doing it.
And what you said about the internal resources, I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. It certainly in my company is. And I think that it reminds me of, it's probably with Sandra Yancey, so the founder of eWomen Network, one of my mentors, has been one of my mentors. And she has done a ton of hiring. So she helps people hiring for their company too. It's one of the things that she doesn't specialize just in that, but she's helped people with that. And she's hired hundreds of people for a giant company before and all that kind of stuff. She's got a big background in it. And it's analogous, because, she talks about who you hire, and you can train for skills, but you can't train kind of who that person is, so to speak, right? So in the interview, she trains people to ask questions that help you understand those essential qualities in that person. You screen for those, and then whether they, if they're a tax person, whether they, know QuickBooks or not, or whatever it is. I mean, they need to know QuickBooks. They need to know some basic things if they're a tax person, but whether they know this word processing program versus that one, or they work on a Mac or a PC, or do you know what I'm saying? Like, those things are trainable, but who that essential person is more foundational, Are they mean? Do they steal things? Do they, are they heart-centered? And do they really want the best for other people? And those kinds of things. If a person has lived a cruel life all their life, and then they come to you and they're technically skilled, they're probably not going to change that momentum. And it's like, thank you, let me show you somebody else that you could work with. And if they're, if they have whatever essential qualities you want in that person, and they don't have some kind of technical skill, those qualities in that person will help you train that. Is that making sense? At least that's what, Sandra in hiring does. And as I'm looking for people in our community, and again, there was an example of that just a few weeks ago, an amazing, amazing person. I spent a lot of time with her, and I lovingly sent her away to her own resources. And because she just wasn't quite ready. And if she's not quite ready, she won't hear it, and then it won't be the right experience. And she went away saying, she actually used the words at the end of the strategy session. I think I told you guys this before in different contexts, but this changed my life. There's tears in her eyes, and I'm going to do everything you said, because I gave her a bunch of homework, and and she'll come back and do the work later, you know, because sometimes it's life circumstances, other things in the way, you know. So and it's an evolving thing, and we learn that by doing. We learn that by doing this right decision. We learn that by doing, by working with people. And let me see, can I say this in integrity? Trying to think what I can answer, what I can say here. Yeah, I think I can say this. Can I say this? Well, Mary Kate, because we've been working together for a while, you've seen different variations of the ideal client for this company and less ideal clients. And we're, you know, it's always an evolving thing. Right. Some people, you know, who maybe come in for, you know, shorter bits of work or whatever it is. And, you know, we will, as a company, lovingly screen them away so that we can do the work with the people who can really hear. So it's an evolving thing. You know, even at this stage of our company, we're still learning more and more and more about who it is we love to work with, who it is we can serve. And it can only happen on the court. So it's not a right or wrong decision. It's you bring them to this, you know, you speak with them in the strategy session, and then you work with the ones that you best think you can work with, that you know that you can help. And then you, on the court, you learn, I liked it better when they X. And then that person becomes part of your, that aspect of that person lovingly becomes part of your ideal client profile. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's always ever evolving. And again, we have such a great example in Heidi in that, like, she learned so much from, oh, well, that's not the person. And, you know, nothing has gone wrong when that happens. That's the, there's the big work, I would say. There's the personal development work of being an entrepreneur. Because if we are so scared that we, you know, it's like, I will only work with this one person of the, you know, almost 8 billion people on the planet, because anybody else, it might go wrong or it might go bad, you know. Then we're contracted and it's a hard place to work from. And then that's the opposite of, man, I want to work with anybody because I so have no worthiness inside me that I just will choose anybody because I probably people won't work with me. Like, those are kind of the opposite problems, right? Yep. Thank you, Karen. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. So, yeah. Oh, and it's exactly time. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see you. Yeah. Thank you. So Mary Kay, I just realized that's time. So does that, we'll just finish up if we need another minute or two to finish this up, then we'll have the recording for everybody after two. So does that give you enough help to go from here with that particular problem? Do you feel like you know what you need to do with those people?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. All right. Well, thank you for your brilliant and beautiful questions as always, Mary Kay. And if you have more questions to post for tomorrow, we have the next Q&A call tomorrow. So, and I know you know that the work gets built by asking the questions. So, and thank you for mentioning that too, about in asking the question that you know, your life expanded, which I know you've said that before too, like you already got something from the formulation of the question, because that's so important.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And if I just want to say too, if I end up asking too many questions, just turn, you know, pass them on to the next session or something.
Bless you. Thank you for your generosity and your kindness. I really, and to be honest, like that, like makes me want to cry. I'm in an emotional state over here with my parents going on. So thank you for that kindness. Thank you for that. It means more to me than when they gave me breakfast this morning after the breakfast bell had ended. I just burst into tears. I'm just like, kindness is really lovely and well received right now. So thank you. Thank you for that. That's beautiful. Well, what I'm trying to do is divide up the time. So if you bring 10 questions and one person brings one, I want to divide up the time between people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I'd like to do it. And then if just,
I'll prioritize. I'll put, if I do have a lot of questions, which I don't know if I will, but I do ask questions. I'll just put a priority on, you know, the most important one.
Absolutely. And if I start answering them in order, feel free to just interrupt me and go, Michelle, don't go to that one first. Like if you've asked 10 questions and we have 10 questions, we get 5 people on the call. So there's fewer, you know, minutes per question kind of thing. Guide me in that. And we'll get to all your questions. And I want to make sure that they're answered fully. And that's why we've got all the.
Okay. Okay.
Bless you for all your amazing question asking. Ask as many as you want. Keep it up. It's really good work and it helps everybody. Thank you. I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.